Well, good morning and thank you for having me. And as Pastor John says, I'm really struggling. I almost called him on Friday and saying, I don't think I'm going to have a voice on Sunday. So I have it, but who knows for how long. So I just want to say thank you so much for having me this morning. Thank you for your support. And as I'm listening and looking at the bulletin and all the missions work that you're doing, this sermon might not be for you. But I'm going to tell you anyway. We're going to talk about the upside-down kingdom. We live in a world right now where we think that everything is for us, right? I mean, you look around our communities right now, and the amount of money that's being spent, the amount of resources that are being used up is a little overwhelming and a little frustrating for me at times. 100 years ago, somebody wrote a prayer, and it was kind of one of those cheeky prayers. And so I'm going to read it for you. It says, I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of God to make me love a black man or pick beads with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paperback, please. I would like to buy $3 worth of God. And if I'm looking at our world right now and many of our churches, that's what it feels like to me, honestly. It feels like we want this comfort and we want everything that the world has to offer us, including, go ahead and go to the next screen, George, including the nice vacation, the big house, the good jobs, everything the world says is what we want as well. And so even as we engage in politics, we're not looking at the global picture of mercy and justice, but oftentimes we look at, is it going to make me feel good? Am I going to be comfortable with the decisions that are being made? And then the question becomes, is that what God really wants? We sang the song Holy Forever earlier. And thank you, worship team, for making me cry. All creation cries holy. Is that the reality of today? Is this really what's happening right now? Or is it just on Sunday mornings that we spend an hour because we have good worship music here? What does it look like for us to live in a kingdom that is God-focused? Go ahead and go to the next one. I want us to remind us where we are in our world, in our universe. We're this tiny, yet we behave like we rule the world and everything around us. Go ahead and go to the next one. But we want to say, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. My father-in-law, who I have never met, he died before I ever met Jim, made this. He carved it. He was a mechanist, and so this globe is pretty much perfectly round. And it's made out of one piece of wood. And I'm going to just leave this here because if I leave it on my thing, I'm going to drop it and it falls and I'm in trouble. So the next few minutes, I want us to just focus on what God wants from us. How are we going to live holy lives? How are we going to make His name known 24 hours a day in every aspect of our lives? So I'm using a paraphrase translation. It's not even translation, a paraphrase of the Bible. Because sometimes, if you're like me, if you have listened to Scripture and have read Scripture for long periods of time, you already know the words, right? And they kind of just go through and you go, yeah, I know that. So this is a paraphrase of some of the Scriptures I'm going to read to you. Read them in your own translation. That's okay. I'm just wanting us to kind of get a new grip on it. Go ahead and go to the first one, please. The greatest among you will be the one who always serves others. Remember this, if you have lofty opinions of yourself or seek to be honored, you will be humbled. But if you have a modest opinion of yourself and choose to humble yourself, you will be honored. Well, that is sure not what our world is doing right now, right? I mean, you look around and, oh my goodness. And I have to say, the church isn't far behind, right? Because we're counting on Sunday mornings how many people came. We're counting the attention, how many folks showed up. We're counting how many are online, right? Do we have a follower? We have somebody from the Philippines watching our worship service. Do we care? No, it shouldn't matter. What should matter is a person's heart transformed because they listened to scripture and they heard a good sermon, right? That's what it's about. The next verse is Galatians 2:20. My old identity. If you remember Paul, right? Paul was this amazing apostle that became a believer later on in life. He was a Jewish leader. He was like the most educated, smartest, well-rounded theologian. Like a combination of Billy Graham and maybe, I don't know, who's a good theologian, Pastor John? And John Motz, right? Right? A combination of that. That was Paul. And he says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Christ and no longer lives. And now the essence of the new life is no longer mine. For the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me, dispensing his life into mine. I don't have a say any longer. You don't have a say any longer. Even young people don't have a say any longer. I'm not going to pick on the old ones today. I'm going to pick on the young ones. Last time I picked on the old ones, right? We don't have a say any longer. It is about God. Go ahead and go to the next one. Philippians. Yet all of the accomplishments that I once took credit for, I've forsaken them, and I regard it all as nothing compared to the delight of experiencing Jesus Christ as my Lord. To truly know him meant letting go of everything from my past and throwing all my boasting into a garbage heap. It's all like a pile of manure to me now, so that I may be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ and embrace him as Lord of all in all of his greatness. It's so not American, right? Americans say, you are good, you are great, you are marvelous, you manifest the future, you do all of that stuff. And you have this amazing career, make as much money, go on as many vacations. The bigger the house, the better. Right? That's what our world is saying. And many churches saying that as well. Right? You know of the churches that are in our world right now, where it's all about, if you just give us money, God will bless you, and you have everything you it. And I don't think that's quite scriptural. Right? How does it look like for us? How does it look like for you in your life? The next one is Galatians 5:25. If the Spirit is the source of your life, we must allow the Spirit to direct every aspect of our life. So maybe you never be arrogant or look down on one another. For each of us is an original. We must forsake all jealousy that diminishes the value of others. So when you go to the homeless shelter and you feed the homeless, are you doing it from a distance? Here's your plate of food. Or are you going to sit beside the person I'm going to pick on somebody else now. I'm going to pick on you. Or are you going to sit beside the person and even maybe touch them? Maybe have a meal with them instead of just serving them? Because, what does it say? Don't never be arrogant or look down on one another. The person that you encounter, created in the image of God. The person at the homeless shelter is created in the image of God. The politician, no matter how much you don't like him or her, is created in the image of God. The teenager who drives you crazy, created in the image of God. Can we imagine a world where God becomes so evident in everything that people are going, wow, I want to know more. I want to know him more. 1 Corinthians. To preach the message of the cross seems like sheer nonsense to those who are on their way to destruction. But to us who have been saved, it is a mighty power of God released within us. For it is written, I will dismantle the wisdom of the wise, and I will invalidate the intelligence of the scholars. But God, later on it says, but God chose those whom the world considers foolish to shame those who think they are wise. And God chose the puny and the powerless to shame the high and mighty. He chose the lowly, the laughables of this world's, the nobodies, so that he would shame the somebodies. For he chose what he regarded as insignificant in order to supersede what is regarded as prominent, so that it would be no place for prideful boasting in God's presence. The Samaritan that Pastor John was talking about earlier, he was one of those nobodies. The person that's standing at the street corner with a sign is one of those nobodies. And yet you might have a conversation with them and you go, wow, they love God in deep ways, right? We need to be aware of those things. Go ahead into the next one. Our world right now is proud about being arrogant and impatient and troublemakers and impure and self-satisfied and forceful and merciless and prominent, right? You look at the politics right now, good grief. All of that is present, right? You look at some of the church council meetings, of course not in this church, right? Not in this church, but in some churches, and there's all of that. And then comes the Beatitudes, go to the next one. And we are called to be all of that. We are called to be the people that are the nobodies of this world. Not because God doesn't see us, but because in the bigger scheme, what you want to see is God. You don't want to see me. So we're going to talk a little bit about the upside down kingdom and what it looks like for us at Lifeline CDC. Like I said, my father-in-law made this. And this is on our bookshelf in our home. It has been for 30 years, 37 years. As a reminder that whatever I do, whatever my husband does, is always hopefully under the authority of God. And we never want to do anything that doesn't honor him. But I am one of those nobodies. Go ahead and go to the next one. This is my family, and some of you already know my story. I grew up in Germany very quickly. I grew up in a crazy house, and it was crazy enough that by eighth grade, the school decided I was too stupid to continue schooling, and I ended up being homeless for the next 3 years. And I had all these labels on me that our society would call a nobody, right? I lived in poverty. I was uneducated. I was sexually abused. I gang raped a number of times. I pretty much prostituted myself out while I was homeless so I could live somewhere, could stay somewhere. I was one of them. And then God, in his grace and mercy, at 16, when I was ready to commit suicide, says, I've got a place for you. And that started my journey of healing. And here I am 40 years later, 40-some years later. Yes, oops, I'm really old now. Not as old as some of you, but old. Sorry. Sorry, George. But God redeems everything, and I'm still on the journey of healing and growing and developing and becoming the person that God intended me to be. But we always say that God doesn't waste anything, right? And so after years, Jim and I lived in China. We did some ministry around the world, and then God called me to do something here in Merced. And so I started Lifeline, which is a nonprofit organization. And some of you already know about it. So, oh, wait, these are my family. Yeah, family. That's my family, my siblings, minus the oldest. So Mike, my oldest brother, was the abuser in our family. He was a psychopath. And it was a crazy life. And that's a picture when we are all a little bit older. Mike is not in this picture because at that point he was incarcerated for his second or third murder. Not quite sure. This is a picture that was taken less than 2 months ago. We went to Germany, and for the first time in over 40 years, all six of my living siblings were together. And it was pretty amazing. So four of my siblings have not dealt with the trauma of our childhood. We all have been through crazy stuff, but there's a little one here, so I don't want to go into details. Just two of us have dealt with the trauma that we have experienced. But we were together for the very first time in over 40 years. And it's probably the one and only time that we will be together. But God works on redemption, right? God doesn't waste anything. And because of Lifeline got started. And Lifeline is about empowering, go ahead one more, empowering under-resourced neighborhoods to thrive. So we work specifically in under-resourced communities. We're in Winton, we're in the Loughborough area in Merced, if you're familiar with it. We just got approved to start something in South Merced at the McNamara Community Center. There has been some interest in the Grove Apartments. We're doing a little bit of work there. And then a little bit of work was thinking about starting something here in Atwater. So when we get to that, I'm going to knock on the door and go, volunteers, hello, we need help, right? But Lifeline is about empowering under-resourced neighborhoods to thrive, and we're using a strength-based approach. So instead of going into a neighborhood and saying, what's wrong with you? And why aren't you doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da? We go into a neighborhood and we're saying, what is good here? What is strong here? What has God already put into the community? And how do we build on the gifts and the abilities of community members? And we do that in four areas. We work on relationships. Oftentimes, it's a relationship one-on-one, right? We start out with that. And then as we get to know people better, we have open doors to saying, how is your relationship with God? And then we can also say, how is your relationship with other people around you? And how is your relationship with yourself, right? Because if those relationships don't come in order, all the other stuff is not that important, and it's never going to get there. So then the second part is we're focusing around health. As you know, when you live in poverty, there are many things that you are not having access to. Access to healthy food, right? Because when you grow up in poverty, junk food is cheaper than healthy food, as you all know, right? And even junk food is now getting expensive. So we have a community garden out in Winton. You get to see some pictures in a few minutes. So we're working about health in every aspect, mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, physical health. We're talking about education because if somebody doesn't know how to read, they're never going to pick up the Bible. And they're never going to move out of poverty either, right? So doing that. And then the last one is we are trying to help folks get into good jobs, not just a McDonald's job, although a McDonald's job now pays more than I pay my staff. So you might want to work for McDonald's. So I'm going to show you some pictures, and we're just going to go through this fast. How much time do I have, John? When do I? 5 minutes. Okay, we're going to go really fast through these pictures. And the reason why I want you to see pictures is because everything we do is with the lens of how do we get people to recognize that they're created in the image of God, and that God loves them, and that God wants the best for them. Right, but if they don't have the basic needs, if a little baby doesn't learn how to read and be in a safe environment, and grows up in trauma, we know the side effects of that and what the chances are. Okay, keep going. So this is our kids learning. This is our Meadows Community Center. Janice is one of our volunteers who comes in. She has chickens. I don't know. Do you grow chickens? I don't know what that is. Anyway, she has chickens, and she always has too many eggs, so she brings fresh eggs to our community center. And then she also has some, this is tangerines or something. And so the kids are learning about that. These pictures are not very good from here, but this is our community center. We do every afternoon and after-school activities with the kids. So they homework, they do social studies, they do fun stuff, lots of physical things. Keep going. Homework, that is a picture of the library on the right. So we have the mobile library coming out to the Meadows because the library might as well be miles and miles away. So they get to come to us, and the kids get to use libraries to read, to enjoy, and to have a library card on their own. Keep going. I'm sorry, I'm in your way, aren't I? I'm going to just stand smack in the middle. You have to look at. Okay. Kids are learning to cook. Kids are having fun playing. Keep going. We have a little tiny garden where the kids are learning how to grow their own vegetables. And that's just some playtime with the kids. We're doing the VITA program right now, meaning VITA stands for Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. So last year, between the two small centers that we had, we were able to bring in over $500,000 in tax refunds for low-income families. So it's helping them get their taxes done, but then also having a conversation on what are you going to do with your refund, right? Because now you get a chunk of money, and what are you going to do with it? Can you pay your rent ahead? Can you pay some bills? Can you put some money aside into savings because Christmas just around the corner, right? Those things. That's just volunteering, people volunteering, keep going. That was fun. So this is a director of probation department coming to the Meadows Community Center. Several folks from the probation office come to us, and we have a partnership with them around different things. But our kids are learning that law enforcement is not scary if you're not on the wrong side of the law, right? And so just them seeing us and they seeing the kids, it was just fun. Keep going. That's just a huge wall. I mean, it was a wall that some UC students and kids decorated for Christmas. Keep going. Okay, this is our Winton Community Center. If you know, that's the one that you're supporting, and thank you so much for that. We have been there for about 15 years now. And I got to tell you one quick story. The owner of the place had to sell the building, and so we were trying to figure out where do we go because we needed to stay in a local area there. And God put it on the heart of one of our community members and says, "I will buy the building, and then you can pay me rent." So it, which is amazing, right? Because he didn't want us to go away, so he purchased the building, and now we are in that building still. Keep going, we're gonna just go through this quickly. This is just our senior activities. We do some do a social where they play bingo and get little prizes. Keep going. That's just helping community members. They might need help with money. They might need help getting a job interview done. Any of those things that help folks move out of poverty. That's our garden. And it was very interesting because we got from the behavioral health, we got all of this stuff donated to make this garden a walkable garden. And then within a week, the homeless stole all of the walking bricks, stole them, and sold them to community. So it was kind of crazy. The garden is still going, so. That's some of our UC interns, and that's one of the fun parts, having UC interns. Most of them are not believers, so we get to live our faith out in the presence of them and have conversations around it, which has been a lot of fun. Keep going. That's just community gatherings and doing fun stuff with community. Keep going. Graffiti abatement, we're doing that, and teaching our kids that if you do graffiti and you have to do community service, you got to clean it up. So, and that's McNamara. Keep going. We started a partnership with Rivera Elementary School, so there's a little school garden, and the kids are learning how to grow vegetables there now, which is a lot of fun. Go ahead and go to the next one. That was the funnest part. So yesterday, Friday, we had 9 teenagers go through a relationship class for 8 hours. They sat with us for 8 hours to learn about what does a healthy relationship look like. And hopefully that will transform them in not going into just stupid stuff that kids sometimes do. You know what? There are a million more pictures. Oh, that's our kids getting their certificates. There are a million more pictures, but I don't want to keep you any longer. So let me, can you go to the... So what can you do to help us? Pray that we live out the good news of Christ, right? Because our work is vital to the community, but more importantly, our work needs to represent Christ well so that it draws people to him. The other one is it takes us about $84 a day. No, if you give $84, if you give $84 a month, it comes to $1,000 in a year, and that would cover one day at Lifeline. So we, because we're expanding and things are happening, it's getting more and more expensive, and salaries are going up, even though my people don't get paid a lot. And then become an active member, just like John was saying, you know, help with the things, Pastor John, sorry. All right, and then the last page, I asked my husband to rewrite the $3 worth of God, please. And he wrote, with apologies to the original writer, I would like more of God, please. More than a heavenly ticket punch or a cozy experience of my divine friend. I would like more of God than daily prayers or Christian music or tithings has given me. More than Bible studies or protest marches or sharing the Eucharist on the curbside in a paper sack. I would like more of God, please. So I want to encourage you to want more of God, right? To live in this upside-down kingdom that is so different from the world that we're living in today, and to live a life that's honoring him and is promoting the message that's really important, which is not politics, which is not religion, which is not economics, which is not environment, which is Jesus, right? So thank you so much.